Hi, and welcome to Wednesday Night Live. Pastor Jeff here with Pastor Chris, and we're excited to be able to share with you each Wednesday night about what's going on at FBC and give you a word of encouragement from God's Word. Just by way of announcement as we get started, just want to encourage you, if you haven't made it back on Sunday morning to worship in person, we want you to come this Sunday, especially Father's Day. We have three venues for you to come and be a part of the service. Where we are right now is the gym. That's where the live service takes place. And we want to get as many people in here as possible while still keeping a safe distance. So we encourage you to come. 8:30 has more seats than 10:30, but this is a safe place for you to come, the gym. Now, if you need more room between you and the next person, a safer venue is the atrium. That's the next phase. And the atrium can seat about 150, and you're watching the service online in the atrium. Now, if you need the safest, it's like, I don't want to be within 10 feet of people because I'm just very concerned about the coronavirus, we have the fusion area. And the fusion area is the safest of all because it's not densely populated in there. And so you can come and still see some people, but you're going to be easily 10 feet from the next person, maybe 20 feet from the next person. Mm-hmm. And so we just want you to come back. There's no substitute for being together with the family of God. So this Sunday, we're kicking off our nursery again from ages 2 to 5. And Chris's girls went to the nursery last week. Chris, tell us about that.
I guess my girls were kind of like the guinea pig for it.
Yes.
They loved it. They were excited to be here. And Grace and her team do a great job of making it safe. And so you can feel comfortable in dropping off your kids ages 2 to 5, and they will make sure that it's safe for them.
And next Wednesday morning, we're teaming with Harvest Texarkana on our campus, and we're giving out 1,000 meals or baskets of food and fresh produce and meat and things like that. The first 1,000 people that come, and call Mike Beck if you'd like to be involved in helping pass that out and just encouraging people and saying hello to people. And that'll be from 8 to noon next Wednesday on our campus. Well, Chris and I have been talking about things to share on Wednesday night that would be a blessing and an encouragement and help to our listeners. And so we want to go through the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a tremendous epistle written by Paul when he was in prison, his first Roman imprisonment. And Ephesians 6 chapters 3 are the theological and the positional truth, and then 4, 5, and 6 are the practical truth, living out the truth of the truth of the scripture that Paul gave us in the first three chapters. So Chris is going to read the first part of chapter 1, and then we're going to discuss it together.
Okay, we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to just see how far we can get tonight. We're talking about Ephesians chapter 1 is about the spiritual blessings from God. In verse 1, there's the greeting. Paul says, "An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Pastor Jeff, it talks about receiving the spiritual blessings from Christ. What do you think it means for us to have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places?
Yeah, great. Verse 3 is such a great verse. And even if we back it up, Chris, one of the things I learned early in my Christian life, you know how Paul starts his letters. He'll always say, "Grace and peace be to you." And Peter does the same. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." What you'll never find in the Bible is where they say peace and grace be multiplied to you. It's always grace and peace. And one of the reasons is you cannot know God's peace until you first experience His grace. So that the grace always has to come first. And when you experience His grace, then you can know His peace. And so you'll notice that in the epistles in the New Testament, they talk about grace and peace, and it's always in that order. And then after He greets the saints in Ephesus, then Chris, as he said in verse 3, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That comes the moment that we receive Christ. And when you receive Jesus, you get everything that God has to offer, because you get His Son, and His Son is the blessor. Mm-hmm. And so we don't necessarily have to ask God for things that He's already given us. We just have to possess our possessions.
That's good.
You know, in Joshua, the Lord told Joshua, every place where your foot treads, I've already given it to you. It's your land. That's the promised land. So everywhere you go, that's yours. But they had to go get it.
So it
was theirs, but they had to go get it. They had to appropriate it. And that, I think that's the same with us in the Christian life. God has given us, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, but we have to claim what He's given us and appropriate what He's given us. And Chris, you know from hours in the counseling room, a lot of people don't do that.
Right. It's there for them. It's available for them, but you've got to receive it. But He has made it available to us, or for us.
So for instance, lots of times we pray for patience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have that in Jesus. It's in our bank account, spiritual bank account, so to speak. And we, so much of the time we ask God for something that He's already given us.
Yeah.
And we need to ask God, Lord, help me to appropriate what You've already given me. Help me to write a check on that which You've already put in my account. And I think living that way, it's kind of like we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. And when you understand that you're fighting from victory, it changes your battle strategy, it changes everything.
That's great. Okay, let's go on to verse 4. Verse 4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. So, I mean, God has chosen us to be holy and blameless. So, theological question for you. How can we be chosen and yet still have the responsibility to choose? So, like, do we have free will, or, you know, does God really have absolute control?
Yes, great question. books have been written on that,
right,
as Chris knows. That's kind of the Calvinist question. Do we have free will, or do we not have free will? And if God chose us, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And from our perspective, we feel like we chose Jesus, but we know theologically He chose us. And so I think both of those things are true. And when God, it says that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, well, that's very clear cut. That happened. The Lord did. Before I ever took my first breath, He had already chosen me. But I think the important thing to remember is when you talk about the predestination of God, Romans 8 and 1 Peter 1, both Paul and Peter link predestination with foreknowledge. For whom He foreknew, them He also did predestine to become children of God. And so the way I understand this, and people disagree, good people, godly people, Bible-believing people disagree on this, but this is the way I understand it. Before God ever made me, God knew everything about me. And God looked through His telescope of time before I was ever created, and He saw me as a 17-year-old boy trusting Jesus. He saw me turning from my sin and turning to Him. And God saw that, He knew that before it ever happened. And because of His foreknowledge, He said, Jeff is going to trust me, and so therefore I am choosing him before the foundation of the world. And I'm going to make him like me. And that just shows you, you can never lose your salvation if you're chosen before the foundation of the world. How could you ever lose that? You can't undo in time what God has fixed in eternity past. And so that's a solid truth in the Scripture to help us know that eternal security is a truth that we can cling to and we can stand on, to know that once you're truly saved, you are saved forever, and there's nothing you can do to undo that. And I've always said this, Chris, that when it comes to God choosing us, God chooses those who want to be chosen. You're not ever going to meet someone in heaven who says, well, you know, I didn't want to be a Christian, but I didn't have any. I mean, it was chosen for me. No, it says, John chapter 1, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So when I receive him, he receives me. Mm-hmm. And he knew that before I ever did it. And so that's why verse 4 chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And that's a great phrase.
So do we have free will? Yes. And does God choose us? Yes.
Right.
Okay. Let's go on to...
I say this. My father-in-law used to tell me, he said, you know, we don't understand this.
Yeah.
And it boggles the mind.
Yeah.
But it's okay with God. He understands.
He is God. Yeah.
So he said, on one side of heaven, as you walk in, it says, whosoever will may come. And on the other side of heaven, it says, chosen from the foundation of the world.
Wow, that's cool.
And so it's both.
That's cool. I like that. A lot of times good theology is both and. Okay, verse 5 says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So God has adopted us into his family.
Yes.
That's a great blessing. So what does that mean? What does it mean for us to be adopted into God's family?
Well, when you consider where you came from.
Yeah, yeah.
You were in Adam's family.
Yeah, yeah.
Separated from God on the highway to hell, and that the Lord would adopt us and say, I want you in my family.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful thing. You know, Chris, we have an adopted daughter in our family, Jill and Jay's adopted daughter, Lyndon. And we love her with such a special love. And as much as we love our biological children and grandchildren, we love Lyndon. And to know that we wanted her in our family, and Jill and Jay wanted her in their family so much, well, God wanted us and his family a zillion times more than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Lord loves a big family, and the Lord loves his children that he purchased with his own blood. And so we have all the rights and privileges of a natural born son, natural born daughter, because we've been adopted into God's family.
Yeah, what a huge blessing to be adopted by him. Let's move along, let's go to verse 7. In verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And then verse 8 says, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. So a couple words here. It says we're redeemed.
Yes.
And it says that we are forgiven. So that redemption, how would you define that? How would you define the word redemption?
Well, I looked it up just this afternoon. So that's I'd good. Be ready to
you
go
because
I knew you were going to ask me. So redeem means to release on payment of a ransom.
That's good.
And 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that the Lord gave himself as a ransom for all. And so the payment that was made to redeem us, to buy us back, was the blood of God's own son. And just as the Passover lamb had to be slain and the blood put on the lintels and the doorpost, so the Passover lamb, Jesus, was slain on the Passover on Friday at 3 o'clock. And his blood was given for us to wash white as snow. And so that we could be set free. And he is the price of our salvation. And that blood was lavished and that grace was lavished upon us so that we could become taking us out of bondage to sin and bringing us into the family of God. That's an awesome thing to be redeemed. I remember going to the Brooklyn Tabernacle some years ago, and they used to have a little song that they sang. It says, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. And you know, we had that hymn that we sang for so long, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed is a good word.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Because we've been purchased by the blood.
And then I like verse 8. He lavished on us all his wisdom and insight. Lavished on us. And then skipping to verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heaven and things on the earth in him. So God has shown us the mystery of his will. Now, this is an interesting verse, the mystery of his will. So what is the mystery?
Well, I think the mystery is probably Christ himself, mm-hmm. and that we can have a personal relationship with him. Mm-hmm. As it says in Colossians, he made known to us the mystery, which is Christ, mm-hmm. and Christ in you, the however it says it, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is the mystery, and that the Lord would live in us, mm-hmm. that is something new. The Old Testament people didn't, as Adrian Rogers used to say, God in the Old Testament had a temple for his people, but in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple, that the Lord lives inside of us. And that is a great mystery, and that it's all wrapped up in Jesus and a personal relationship with him.
Good, good. That's a great, great mystery. And then verse 11, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Verse 12, to the end, that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. So we are chosen to bring praise to God. And, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians. So what did God do for the Ephesians, and what has God done for us?
Well, God brought salvation to the Ephesians just like he's brought salvation to us. And, they were blessed as a church. The Apostle Paul spent 3 years of his life there in Ephesus. And so they were able to hear. Can you imagine, who's your pastor? Well, our pastor is the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
That's a pretty awesome thing. But Paul would say, hey, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. Yeah. It's all about Jesus. And so we don't have Paul as pastor here. But we have Jesus as the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd in our church. And everything, as we said, Chris, everything is wrapped up in Jesus.
Yeah.
And so the closer you get to Jesus, mm-hmm. the more you experience his love and his joy and his peace and all the fruit of the Spirit, that becomes yours. And that starts to flow off of you and drip off of you, so to speak, so that others see that and they recognize that you've been spending time with him.
Yeah. And then verse 13, in him, you also, after listening to this message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we are guaranteed the Holy Spirit. But this word sealed, what does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit?
Right. I used to look at it this way. It's kind of like, so it's the security of the believer. Mm-hmm. So you have Ziploc bags, you seal those. Remember the commercial where they
blue,
would put,
yellow, mint green.
Well, they would put liquid in it uh-huh. and then they'd seal it and then they'd turn it upside down. See, nothing yeah. came out because
right.
it was sealed.
Right.
Well, we've been sealed with the Spirit. And mm-hmm. the Spirit from Ephesians 13 and 14, God gives the Spirit as a pledge of our inheritance. Think of a pledge kind of like an engagement ring. And so when you receive Christ, the Lord gives you his Spirit, like when I gave Debbie an engagement ring, mm-hmm. and that said, I am committing myself to marry
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And God says, here is the evidence that you have that I will follow through on complete salvation, not just justification, not just sanctification, but glorification one day to make you like myself. And the evidence of that is I've given you my Spirit. The Spirit is not only an engagement ring, but also a down payment.
Yeah, I like that.
And so he says, with a view to the redemption, the full redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. And because God's given us his Spirit and he's sealed us in his Spirit, the Spirit is not going to leave us. We can have confidence that we belong to him. We're adopted into his family. We'll mm-hmm. always be his child. We can be a disobedient child, mm-hmm. but we're never gonna, he's not gonna disown us.
Right.
Once you're born into the family of God, you're his forever. Now, Chris, you have three daughters. I have three daughters. We love our girls to
yeah.
death. There's nothing our girls could do
right.
that would ever cause us to disown them.
Right.
If they became serial killers, it would break our hearts, but they'd still be our girls.
That's right. That's right.
And same with God. He's never, once you become His, you're His forever. And Chris, one of the verses we didn't spend a lot of time on verse 6, but I like verse 6 in the King James, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us who are accepted in the Beloved.
Mm, mm.
Accepted in the Beloved. I think a lot of us struggle with acceptance.
Yeah, right, right.
And, you know, you probably have some examples from counseling where people mm-hmm. they're insecure.
Yeah, a lot of insecurity.
Because right. they don't feel accepted.
Right, right. Not good enough. Can't be good enough to be accepted. I love the part of the Holy Spirit of being a down payment, being a deposit on us. Just mm-hmm. such a powerful truth that God has given us the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, "Who has given us a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." Is there anything else you can think of that the Holy Spirit gives to us?
Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The mm-hmm. Holy Spirit guides mm-hmm. us in truth. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the encourager. He's the divine paraclete. He comes alongside to encourage and to help us. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Mm-hmm. But we don't have to live apart from Him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you get real technical, Jesus doesn't live in your heart per se.
Right, right.
The Holy
right.
Spirit does.
Right.
The Spirit of Jesus lives in our hearts. And mm-hmm. so Jesus said, it's important that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Spirit won't come.
Right.
And so
right.
the Spirit is just like Jesus, because God is one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so just as the Son is the exact representation of the Father, the Spirit is the exact representation of Jesus. And so God is three in one. And so God lives in our hearts through the person of the Spirit. He gives us strength. He gives us power. Everything comes from Him.
Yeah.
And to think that God would live in us,
mm-hmm.
the great eternal God, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, He lives in every believer. Is mind-boggling.
Yes, that's amazing. That's incredible.
And so we have tremendous help when we're in trouble, because the Lord is there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And, you know, if you are watching tonight and you are struggling with feeling like, well, I'm not good enough, mm-hmm. I'm not smart enough, I don't measure up, I didn't come from a good family, I don't know mm-hmm. the Bible well enough, all those different things, just know this. The moment that you receive Jesus, I mean, truly give your life to Him, receive Him as Savior and Lord, He accepts you. He wraps His arms of love around you. He blesses you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He adopts you into His family. He gives you all the rights and privileges of a son, of a daughter. Chris, it's kind of like Mephibosheth in the Old Testament, you know. He was thinking David was going to kill him. And David ended up bringing him into the palace and treating him like he's his son and blessing his life. That's what God does to us. And it's all undeserved. It's just lavished upon us because of His great grace.
Yeah, sometimes in counseling, one of the exercises I'll have people do when they're struggling with knowing who they are in Christ is have them read Ephesians 1 and then just make a list of the blessings that God offers from Ephesians 1, who He says you are. By just reading through Ephesians 1 and just jotting down all that it says, what a blessing.
Amen. Well, let me close out with this story. I was telling Chris this story earlier today from verse 3. So look at it again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," past tense, "has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You have everything you need as a believer. You may not feel like you do, but you do, because God says that you do. So years ago, I heard a story that happened at Bellevue Baptist Church. Peter Lord was preaching there at Bellevue for Adrian Rogers, and he wanted to give an illustration to illustrate this truth. And so he talked to one of the deacons, and he said, hey, his wife had, they were sitting on the front row, but his wife had gone to the restroom, and he said, hey, I'm gonna call for somebody to come up on the platform. And he said, I'm gonna just pretend like I'm picking somebody at random, but it's gonna be your wife. And he said, now I'm putting a $20 bill in her Bible, in the middle of her Bible, so you make sure that she comes up with her Bible when I call her up on stage. So he said, okay. So then he asked, you know, everybody's back together. He asked, I need somebody to help me with an illustration, and who is it going to be? And, oh, you, ma'am, you do it. And so she didn't know anything. She wasn't in on the gag here. And so she starts to come up, and her husband says, wait a minute, don't you think you need to bring your Bible? She said, oh, yeah. So she brings her Bible. She comes up. And so Peter Lord says to her, he says, now, ma'am, he said, do you believe I'm a man of God? Well, what's she going to say? You know, she's in front of the whole church. So she says, yes. He said, do you believe that I would tell you the truth? She said, yes. He said, you don't believe I would bring you up here to lie to you? She said, no. He said, if I asked you to do something for me and you could do it right where you're standing right here and it wouldn't cost you anything, would you do it? She said, well, yes, I would. And he said, wonderful. He said, do you love me? She said, yes. He said, do you trust me? She said, yes. And he said, great. Now I want you to give me $20. And she said, okay, but I got to go to get my purse. He said, no, I didn't say anything about getting your purse. I said, you could do it right here. He said, let's go over this again. Do you think I'm a man of God? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you think I love you? Yes. Do you trust me? Yes. Will you do something for me that won't cost you anything if I ask you to do it? Yes. He said, great. Now give me $20. She said, well, let me go get my purse. He said, no, you don't have to get your purse. She said, well, I don't have $20. And he said, is that your Bible? She said, yes. He said, may I see it? So she handed it to him. He opens up the Bible. He pulls out $20. He said, why didn't you give this to me? She said, how did that get in there? He said, I put it in there.
Yeah.
And the only thing I asked you to give me was what I had already given to you.
That's good.
God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We don't have to manufacture anything. It is there. Everything we need is there in Jesus, given to us. All we have to do is appropriate what the Lord has given. Hey, you're struggling today. Maybe you feel like you're low on patience. Mm-hmm. You have it in your account.
Yeah.
You just need to draw from it. Maybe you need endurance. Maybe you need strength. Maybe you need this. You need that.
Joy.
Joy is a good one. Peace.
Peace.
All of that is there because all of that is in Jesus. And so just appropriating what he's already given you changes everything. You're not fighting for victory. You and I are fighting from victory. The victory is in Jesus. He has lavished his grace upon us for those who are in Christ.
That's an excellent word. Good word.
So, Christian,
can I use that illustration sometime?
Yes.
That's a good one.
You can use that illustration. You want to pray us out tonight?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's good. It's true. We apply it to our hearts. We thank you for your blessings that we have not deserved, but you've lavished upon us your grace and your mercy and your gifts. And Lord, help us now to walk in that which is already available to us. Thank you for this time of teaching. Thank you for Pastor Jeff, and thank you for every person watching. I pray that you will continue to work in each life and each heart. To you be the glory. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.